Good morning again, everyone. That's the title of my sermon today, of the power of in Christ thinking, and we'll sort of unpack that as we go. We're going to be focusing on Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. This is the ending of Paul's letter to the Philippian Christians. I love Kara Garrity's message today about how to resolve disagreements that we may have, because I think the important thing to realize is that the disagreements that we may have in anything pales in comparison with the things that we really do have in common, particularly as Christians, the fact that we love our Savior, that we live in grace and love towards one another, and those differences that we may have just kind of hopefully just dissolves over time and over discussion, okay? So Paul here in Philippians 4 ends his writing and reminding everyone that he was writing this in prison. So that should be a kind of a context and a backdrop of what we're seeing here, is that Paul was writing this while he himself was in prison, and so he knows what he's talking about. When he is telling people to rejoice, can you imagine? It's hard enough to feel rejoicing when you are actually in prison. So he writes, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always, or in everything, rejoice. And again, to emphasize this point, I will say, rejoice. So, I think what he's trying to convey here is very important to him, because he twice mentioned it, rejoice in everything, and again, I say, rejoice. But this is not like putting a happy face on a situation. You know, we have to also be realistic. But he's trying to convey something that is deeper and more in line with our spiritual thinking or spiritual perspective, that in all the circumstances that we face, we need to see a brighter perspective towards it. I think one word that's being used around this is the word or the phrase positive thinking.
I hate that too.
I kind of hate that. Why do you hate that, Mary Kay?
Because I saw this cancer. I listened to a cancer audiobook, and this woman had breast cancer, and there was a support group, and they were saying, "Oh, this is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me," and it's just too saccharine.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it can be very saccharine. It can be like just like I said, putting a smiley face on a situation. I actually, in a way, prefer the phrase hopeful thinking instead of positive thinking. Now, I'm not knocking down positive thinking. I think there's a place for it, too. But I think as Christians, we need to be more, have an alignment with hopeful thinking. So we know that circumstances may not be wonderful 100% of the time, but we understand that we have hope beyond whatever crisis that we are experiencing right now, or whatever trouble or problem that you are faced with. In addition to that, perhaps another thing that I'm sort of coining today is in Christ thinking. In Christ thinking. So in other words, what we do in our perspective and mindset is to align our thinking to ground our thinking from the standpoint of who we are in Christ and what Christ has accomplished already for us, so that the reality of what Christ has already accomplished for us is being lived out in your reality, even though the circumstances or the crisis in your life that you need to manage. We'll talk more about that in a bit. Paul seems to have this particular theme throughout a lot of his writings. Let's look at a couple of them. Colossians 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. So now he's putting an additional thought there that he's rejoicing in his sufferings because he knows that those sufferings will be maybe inspirational and helpful for other people who may be experiencing their own particular sufferings. And in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I love the way early Christians thought about their afflictions because here's kind of like the mindset, talking about in Christ thinking. They know that their Lord and Savior has suffered a great amount for their sake and for our sake. So in their thinking, if anything happens to me, even if it's going to be harmful to my own body, that cannot even be compared to the kind of suffering that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself has suffered for my sake. So therefore, I am willing to go to even greater lengths to suffer and be persecuted and to be sometimes abused for the sake of my faith and for the sake of the gospel. And so we need to have that mindset of being in Christ and putting and grounding everything that we do in the reality of the life and person of Jesus Christ so that we can be grounded and settled. Okay? Here's a couple more verses. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction, but with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So, relating again the connection of being joyful despite of the afflictions that come our way. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. Him being complimentary towards the Corinthian Christians. For in a severe test of affliction, I love the wording of it. Notice, for in a severe test of affliction. We're not talking about a small problem. We're talking about a severe case here. Look at the attitudes that the Corinthian Christians had despite of their affliction. Their abundance of joy. All right, so severe affliction equates with abundance of joy. They're not happy that they're suffering, by the way. We're not talking about being happy because you're suffering, but because that's being, what's the word for that? If you're happy that you're suffering. Masochistic. Yeah. So we're not talking about masochism here. We're talking about a frame of mind and a frame of reference wherein we appropriate our afflictions in light of the reality that we have in Jesus Christ. So therefore, we can have hopeful thinking. We can go beyond the circumstance that we're dealing with to look towards the future, and not just towards the future. And this is important because sometimes we can think, we know that things will get better later on, right? I mean, we kind of hope for that, and we have every reason to hope for that. But I think it goes beyond the thinking of, I'm hoping for something better in the future, because the reality is that there's something good already that is happening to us now in Christ. So we have to place our frame of reference not in the stuff that we're dealing with now, but in a kind of reference where we ground it, or ground ourselves, ground our thinking in the life and person of Jesus Christ, so that we realize that not only are we hoping for greater things in the future, because those things will indeed happen, but we're grounding ourselves in the reality of the blessings of Jesus Christ that we are already experiencing today, now, in Him, and through Him. And so we can have abundance of joy despite of the severe test of affliction that may come upon us. Notice he ends it by saying their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. So looking at opposite spectrum, even though they are poor, extremely poor, but they have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Even though they have very real needs, because of how they perceive the reality of who they are in Jesus, and the fact that they focus on the blessings that they have already received today, now, there's going to be greater blessings in the future, but you have the blessings of Jesus Christ today, now, and they can attest to that. And so therefore, I'm going to overflow in love and generosity towards other people despite of the limitations that I have right now. Continuing on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your reasonableness, other translations render this, let your gentleness be known to everybody. I love that. Be gentle towards everyone. Or another perhaps better word is be deferential to everyone. Remember the sermon we gave last week, treat the other person better than yourself, or think of the other person as even better than yourself. And the rationale behind it is that the Lord is at hand. Not far away, not in the distant future, not isolated, you're not isolated from Him, but that the Lord is right here with you, walking along with you. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There are a lot of things we can't that happens to us that we can't we can barely manage or handle. And the best way for us to move forward with those things is by putting our hands together and just praying to the Lord for it. Because nothing is beyond reach for God to take care of the situation for you. And so for us, with having that mindset, that regardless of what circumstances that we are faced with right now, we can always put our hands together and submit those, and notice that, with thanksgiving. Isn't that an interesting perspective? Not only do you pray, but you pray being thankful for the fact that the Lord is going to be with you and is indeed with you throughout your challenges. But make it known to Him. And when you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I love that phrase, by the way, and I think most of us probably have it memorized. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I mean, it's like, I don't know how it happens, but you get to the place where you feel peace and not anxiety, not troubled, not being depressed, not being afraid, but rather you get to a point where you're settled and at peace. I love the word at rest. Through Jesus Christ, who will guard your hearts and your minds. And he ends with this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. How do you put these in your own words, this particular verse that we are seeing here? How do you personalize this particular verse when you read it? Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is true.
I think about nature programs on Channel 10 because of the complexity of the creatures, like worms at the bottom of the sea, and how they grow and how they change, and it's just the complexity of nature.
And
how it all fits in the whole of the world.
Mm-hmm. So when you focus in on that, what happens?
I am brought into thankfulness, which mm-hmm. is not easy for me.
So in other words, when you think out, even outside of yourself...
I appreciate the beauty and the color and the creativity of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen to that. Anyone else? Yeah.
I was looking at, two dogs yesterday.
Uh-huh.
One is a corgi, and the other one is that, it's not a pit bull, but it's the one that has a long, rounded snout.
Like a
bulldog or a...
No, not a bulldog.
A long, funny, extremely round nose.
Yeah.
That looks so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And the diversity of the animals mm-hmm. that all came from one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just small animals. I mean, there's so many big ones, but they all have such diversity
mm-hmm.
that it's amazing. It's like flowers or trees that you just can't picture how so many different things can come from, in theory, the one set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim.
Well, I think about my Sherry because she's true and honorable and just and recovering.
Wow.
Got some points there,
Jim. Got some points there, Jim.
So you might have dinner tonight.
Thinking about our spouses that are true and honorable and pure and commendable and excellent and all that kind of stuff.
You agree with him, right?
I completely agree with him on that. And you know, by completely agreeing on that, there will be peace. Right? you have a thought, Jim?
Well, I think like the first responders and people that are helping out in disasters,
yeah.
you know, they're commendable and doing honorable
things. Right.
You know,
right.
That's a glimmer of hope in a...
Right.
Yep.
So it's to me, that thought is basically elevating your thinking beyond yourself and outside of yourself. You can look at nature. You can look at the diversity of created things. You can even look at your spouse. You know, I mean, whatever is those things that help. And by the way, as Dalla was talking about the beautiful diversity of animals, I think it's also helpful to me to think about the beautiful diversity of ideas and thoughts that there are. You know, we can be thankful for created things and the diversity of it, but I think we also need to be aware that there is beauty in the diversity of thoughts and ideas and culture and just many different things that people do in a different way that we're not necessarily are accustomed to because that's not part of our tradition or whatever. But we can be thankful that there's diversity there. And at least when we think about those things and when we elevate our thoughts in that way, then we can see how we can honor and respect and love other people who may think a little bit differently than us. Yeah, go ahead, Darrell.
If you think of what the cavemen life was like.
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't been for God to progress us farther,
mm-hmm.
we'd still be in that era.
We'd still be living in caves.
Wouldn't have come up with all these complex things if it hadn't been for God putting it in our mm-hmm. minds.
Amen. And ending with this verse, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I will end with a few thoughts here that we have gleaned from reciting or reading these verses. Number one, looking at it from the standpoint of who God is, God listens to our prayers, all right? The good, the bad, the ugly. The complaints, the criticisms, the praise and adoration, all those things, he listens to them, and he hears them, and he validates them. And that's one thing that we can truly believe in, that he absolutely cares for us by listening to us when we pray. The second thing that we see from these verses is that Christ gives us peace. So we send our prayers to the Father, and we realize that his Son, through him, we receive peace that surpasses all understanding. And our peace is founded or grounded in him, not in us. It's not the power of positive thinking, you know, and I think that I can understand how Mary Kay would be, you know, like not too keen on that word. It's not the power of positive thinking, but it's really the power of in Christ thinking. Because what we have experienced by the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ is that we have received peace through him and in him. And so when we move our thinking outside and beyond ourselves to the reality of the person and life of Jesus Christ, then something happens. We receive that peace. And it makes us like rest and be settled and be content despite of challenges that we might face. And then the third thing is that the Spirit elevates our thinking. So you see the action of the triune God towards us, that we can submit our prayers to our Father in everything. Jesus grants us and gives us the peace that is in him. And then the Holy Spirit helps us, inspires us to elevate our thinking. To make us like raise up our spiritual perspectives so that we don't just stay within ourselves and get stuck here, but go beyond ourselves to helpful spiritual perspectives that lift us up. So what does that mean for us? Well, we've already mentioned it earlier. We pray to God. That is our first, probably our first line of offense, is to put our hands together and just pray to God. He says in everything, in anything, whatever you feel, however you feel. I mean, sometimes we get mad at him, right? And we have instances in the Bible that they express their anger toward God. Not that it's necessarily the right thing to do, but it's so human for us to express our anger, our emotion. In a lot of ways, it's a lot safer to express that anger towards him than it is towards another person. Because if I get angry towards another person, then that causes challenges and friction and maybe some harm in the relationship. But when we sort of like restrain ourselves and say, you know, I'm going to take this to God, or just not necessarily be angry at him, but take whatever emotions that you're feeling and just pour it out to him, because we know that he listens to our prayers and supplications. The second thing that we can do is to rest in Christ, right? So we pray, and after or even during the time that we pray, we rest. Sometimes we don't have to do anything, but sometimes we have to do something, right? It's not, I'm not mandating a kind of thinking where you just pray and leave it up to God. You know, that's also incomplete and erroneous to say, well, I prayed over it, and now it's God's turn to do something about it. You know, I'll pray to Him. He says, give all my prayers to Him. All right, I've done my prayer, God. It's your turn. And I'm not talking about a kind of rest where we go, all right, I'm going to rest, and I'm just going to wait on God to show up.
You have to do the footwork.
You have to do some footwork. Now, sometimes you may have to like not do anything, but I will tell you, a lot of times, you do.
And I think in the footwork, though, when I think sometimes when people say positive thinking, it's a choice in your mindset as to where you put your thoughts. So yeah, we put our thoughts on Christ, but we still have choices in our actions and how mm-hmm. we choose to think about that and how we choose to proceed through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, honey. Isn't she excellent? No.
Whatever. Yeah, you'll get dinner no matter what. Don't worry.
but you, I'm not telling you to just, you know, because sometimes this is what people think, you know, just, I've done my part, I've done my prayer, I've done my obligation, my duty, and God is going to now show up. Well, you know what? It doesn't quite work that way. You pray to God, but there are things a lot of times that you have to do. And that's part of how you grow, you know, in maturity and in Christ. And I would say that's part of being resting in Christ, because you realize that whatever the outcome is, if you have already prayed about that situation to God and then you do your part as well, whatever the result would be is beyond your control, right? But you've done your part, you have extended yourself to other people, and you leave everything up to God. That's part of our resting in Him. And the third thing is, we rest in Christ, but now we also need to think spiritually. And that's the kind of like the doing part that my wife mentioned. The elevating of our thoughts. What are some of the things that we have learned from the Word and from the Holy Spirit, who is speaking inside of you and to you about the situation? What are the things that are going to help you to properly address the situation in your life? Elevate it. Think about it. Put yourself in that spot. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you that inspiration. And then when you receive that word from God, act on it. Act on it. I know for me, a lot of times, you know, I hear something, but I don't act on it. And I'm sure you can relate to that. You know, you know that it's from God. You know that it's the right thing. You know that you could see it backed up by biblical principles. And then the Holy Spirit puts that thought in you. And then now, what are you going to do about it?
Ignore it.
A lot of times, if we're honest, we do ignore it. Or we think, I just don't know if I have it in me to do it. And so a lot of those things kind of creep up in us that prevent us from doing what we need to do. And part of what is going to help us be untangled from that is resting in Christ, but also thinking about how are we going to use what we know from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God into breathing life into the situation that I'm in. That's what we see here in the kind of approach that Paul is finishing up with in his letter to the Philippians. That's how we can be joyful in everything, because we are allowing ourselves to be to be centered in our relationship with the God who loves us so much that he listens to our prayers, who cares about us so much that he gives us peace that surpasses all understanding, and inspires us so much that he helps us, using our own, you know, minds, to lift us out of the predicament situations that we're in, and by encouraging us to do something about it, not just to let it sit. I'll just end with this thinking. I don't know if it helps, but you know how we, as a human being, we have a mind, a body, and soul, right? And all of them are us. You can't just separate your mind, because your mind is your mind and it's part of you. Your body, of course, you can't. And your soul as well. It's interesting that in the Bible, it also talks about loving God with all your mind and with all your heart. It's the same thing. You know, love your God with your mind, your body, and soul. And what is fascinating when I think about these verses is that God reaches out to us at all levels of our being. He engages with our mind. He certainly helps us with our physical body, but also inspires us in the deepest part of our being, our soul. And so what we see in the triune God is an engagement of everything, everything about who you are as a human being. He loves us so much that he works with us at all levels of our humanity. That's what I wanted to bring out for us. God loves us so much that he reaches out to us at all levels of our humanity. And sometimes God speaks to you more in your mind, because maybe that's more your, you know, it's kind of like that tends to be your personality or your bread and butter. But that's why we're all different, right? We're all different because with our mind, body, and soul, we have different, we kind of go in different spectrums of that. And yet, God realizes that he can reach out to us at all levels, and that he will be with you at all those levels of your humanity. Praise God. I mean, you know, it's amazing who our God is, who cares about us so much. And that's what Paul highlights for us here today. So, my friends, just be joyful. Let me end with that. What Paul said: rejoice in all things. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God in heaven, we are so thankful that you have encouraged us through the writings of Paul, that you are engaged with us at all levels of our humanity, that we can pray to you, we can rest in you, and we can trust that the Holy Spirit engages our thinking and elevates it and raises it up so that we can indeed follow your instructions and your way of life in all that we do and think of. Father God, instruct us through the Holy Spirit how we can be more and more like you and more like the Son whom you have sent for us. Father, help us to have the perspective of the Holy Spirit, that we can think through some of the difficult challenges that we have in life and realize that you are also there with us, elevating our thinking and letting us think about things that are outside and beyond ourselves, to things that will inspire us and lift us up and center us and put us in the right place. And above all, we thank you, Lord, for loving us, for we know that you care about us so deeply at all levels of our humanity. We thank you, O God, we thank you for your message in Philippians, and we pray all these things in the name and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.